You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Football is back. It's kinda.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL, Dan Hansis. Heroes, Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. Week one of the preseason in the books. And now I'm going to do my best Fireman Ed. Here we go. I'm taking it down. Let's get a lot of silence in the room. Get the whole building silent. Get it silent.
That's a nice little surprise.
Yard field goal try to close out the half. Tucker got the leg into it. It's long enough. It is good. Justin Tucker from 60.
Are you kidding me? Who said the preseason has no juice?
The sun goes so hard.
Never heard that. Those horns.
We've never been this deep into the production.
Justin Tucker in the first preseason game just drills one from 60. They win by 1 point, the Ravens. 2019 over the defending NFC champion Eagles, and now they've won goddamn near a quarter of 100 games in a row. In the preseason, the greatest streak since Joe DiMaggio. That's how you start the preseason.
I love it. They definitively are angling to win these games. And with each victory, it becomes a more impossible record to reach for any other team with the way that the preseason is. Because think about it, also, with one less preseason game every year, it will take that many more years for a team to even get there. And they won't. They won't get there. It's never going to be matched. If it does, you can take me out with a bullet. I'm telling you right now, it never will be. And I also learned something about Justin
Tucker. Female assassin, you know, best case scenario.
Just do the job. Like, yeah.
I think the Bills have won like 10 straight or something like that. So no. they're at least, you have five more years of life guaranteed.
Yeah, it's like when this streak started, you had children that weren't even born yet.
What? That's absolutely true. Harrison wasn't on this planet yet. If an assassin took you out, Mark, from the sixth floor of Amoeba Records in Hollywood.
Right. Not here. I thought you were going to say a parking garage.
And you look up.
Amoeba has been closed for many years.
They moved and opened a new location.
Yeah.
Okay. and it's huge.
Hollywood and Vine.
From the Book Depository, you look up your dying breath, because I know what you're thinking. You're saying, oh, that better be like a leggy brunette assassin.
Okay.
What if it's like
what I'm thinking, or that's
a fat middle-aged guy named Butch?
Well, that'd be takes you out. Disappointing. I don't think that's
crushing. That's even worse than the death itself would be, that's who got me?
Yeah.
After all the fantasizing about the female assassin to get a Butch.
It would be the wrong way to go. I think the other thing I have wrong is, like, if were I taken out by anyone's bullet, it would not be categorized as an assassination. It would just be a murder.
We would call it that because
you could.
It
I would.
That
I would appreciate
years.
You at least frame it.
And then, I would frame it as a, just because it would then it would have a political undertone, and it would make Greg and I seem more important because we'd say it's connected to the show somehow and
yes.
taking us out and
leverage
our
it in any. I won't be here to stop.
You'll be a martyr.
I'm just imagining the person who like is just getting into football turned on this podcast for the very first time today. The first 2 minutes seemed to be some sort of hallucination. What's going on?
Don't worry. This is a real football podcast.
Assassination talk.
Because coming up later today, our old buddy, Ross Tucker, former offensive lineman, he wrote a nice piece over there on the 33rdteam.com. Got emotional just thinking about
having this conversation. It's a website that does that to people. So
Ross Tucker, his tiers of offensive lines. And if you don't think that that's not vitally important in this sport we call football, you don't know what you're doing. You're paying too much attention to political controversies and assassination attempts and not enough attention to ball. It's one in the trenches, and Ross knows what he's talking about. So he's going to come on, talk about those tiers. But before we get into that, yes, preseason week one, it's done. So why don't we just have a little conversation? I think a good way to get into this is and Randy behind the glass today. Eric will be back later in the week, and we'll have some things to catch up with Mr. Roberts, but we'll leave it at that for now. Randy, we're going to talk about who popped and who flopped.
Oh, I can't breathe. We were workshopping a different name, but we've gone
right.
With
I thought we were going with who popped and who pooped. That was a big surprise.
Listen, there's a couple different routes we could have gone, but then the poop sound effect would have been maybe not for the ears of the audience.
And that actually was, you know, I think
of children.
You typically would gamble on the fact that I wouldn't probably weigh in with ideas pre-show when I'm on my way here.
You came in with a gem.
Yeah, I mean, that just came to me. I said I have to share this with the group. It was getting ha-has on the.
Big old LOLs, big old digital belly laughs.
And it just gets, you know, thrown out of the cap.
You can still use it.
You could use
just
it.
Just go rogue.
How about next week for the preseason? Because I know you guys
you don't
will be
need
talking
to have
about
a
the preseason.
You don't need to have a sound effect for you if you talk about it. It's probably better.
This is better without it. No, it's not.
We'll do flop.
If we have a segment called Who Popped, Who Pooped, and we're not having some type of poop sound effect, what are we even here for?
I agree.
So next time we do preseason takeaways,
okay,
we'll call it that name.
That's fair.
How about
that? I think
it's
equitable.
Equitable's right.
Well, we're a team, so you use everyone's ideas.
See how that works, Greg?
I love it.
See the togetherness, the teamwork?
Football is back!
Kind of. Who popped in week one of the preseason? Greg, I'll start with you.
You know, I'm going to start with the same note I started my 68 takeaways from the first week of the preseason. You can check
it
out on NFL.com. Well, I thought you have to start with DeMar Hamlin just because of everything that we watched and went through last year, that he went through, rather, and to see him out on the field. And, like, we've been taking these steps in the process that, like, you expected him to be back, but it still was different, at least for me as a viewer, watching him out on that field. And he was very active. Like, any hesitation you thought he might have had, any worries, like, you couldn't see that on the field. He was knifing down. He was very active in the run game. He was blitzing. Like, they almost felt like they were trying to get involved. And our friend Cynthia Freeland was doing the game on the sidelines. And she noted, on top of Hamlin being back, and that's such a great story, he's part of such a deep safety group there. It might be the best safety group in the entire NFL with Micah Hyde is back, Jordan Poyer's back, you brought in Taylor Rapp. Hamlin's out there making plays. It was the first time since Thanksgiving of 2021 that Hyde, Poyer, and Tre'Davious White were all on the field together. So that was just great to see. And it's one of those things in the preseason that, like, when you first heard that he's coming back, you're like, okay, that feels almost strange, but it's also exciting. Like, we'll see what happens, but it's happening, and it's exciting to see.
I do wonder, I mean, if the Bills get into a weird situation, they're so deep at the position that if Hamlin, you know, has a so-so preseason and from run up to the regular season, are they ever in a position where they have to part ways with him despite the great story behind it?
I don't think so, just because he was such a valuable player for them. He's a good special teamer. I think, like, you carry four or five safeties, and I think if he had come back and wasn't sure of himself, but by all accounts, in terms of the practice reports and what we saw in the field, how they were using him, like, he's going to be a third and fourth safety. They love their secondary, and they're not very good at cornerback. I would say they're not sure if they're going to start their first round pick from a year ago, Kyer Elam. And what I've noticed, a little bit of a trend around the league, is like a lot of teams are saying, like, look, we have three good safeties. Let's keep them on the field as starters and only have two cornerbacks. I'm thinking of, like, the Seahawks are a little like that. The Lions are a little bit. And I think the Bills could be like that, too, where they have three safeties on the field most of the time.
How about you, Mark? Give me a pop.
I can't go flop.
Let's stay positive to start.
Okay.
We'll get there.
You know,
always want to go negative.
No, I was interested in a flop scenario.
You'll get the first flop. So
okay, that's fine.
Greg can't take it.
More teamwork.
Because I know you're worried he'll take your flop. And then
now I'm looking over there. I can see.
Don't let him see your screen.
I don't know why Greg does that.
I don't know either. It's violating.
It's sort of like an announced lack of integrity.
It's not a
you're
lack.
Just announcing it.
How can you just not,
you're
how
trumpeting.
Can you not see it? It's right there in front of you. Go ahead.
I've been talking this team up.
Wait, one second.
Yeah.
Do you like when Greg looks at your screen?
I've made it very clear that it's weird to me, and
I'll
I don't
stop
like
it. I'll try to stop it.
I mean, you knew that, though.
I'll try to
it stop doesn't it. Stop you, though. You can't stop.
I'll try to stop it.
I use a lot of highlighters and different colored fonts,
I look
and I think Greg
Mark's,
is attracted to
you know, face as he's speaking, and the screen's just, like, right there. It's hard to avoid.
It is in your sight line, but
stay locked in on those icy blues.
Right. On some level, you know, you wanted that seat on the corner. You didn't want the middle
he did.
Seat.
He was very
so
strong
that,
about
that
it.
That was part of it.
Oh, so it's a little constant revenge needling. The new listeners still like,
right,
will
go.
You ever get to
let's
football?
Go.
I have been talking this team up. I thought, you know, it was, what would the Steelers look like? I love that they came out with Kenny Pickett. They didn't sit him on the sideline. Goes 6 for 7. I thought he looked very crisp. George Pickens, you know, it took him a little bit of a while last year to get going, but showed a clear chemistry with Pickett. They had an excellent 33-yard touchdown connection. I think Allen Robinson, he played a lot of snaps. I still am suspicious of him as a number two, but it seems like they want to make that work. But I just thought it was a great sign for the starters to come out. And if you're Kenny Pickett, they've been talking about him in training camp. I guess they said he's thrown one interception the whole time. I don't know what that means because that's situational. And you know, he's maybe that means he's been too conservative. He didn't look it that way in this game. I think it's a good sign for Pittsburgh that it looked like a better version of Kenny Pickett than even the end of last year.
He might have the most pop. From our friend Daniel Jeremiah, from lots of national people, lots of local people, just saying in terms of year one to year two leap and what you see in training camp, Pickett pop has been happening. So it's nice to see that confirmed.
Yeah.
And to your point about Robinson, I'm riding this Calvin Austin train here. Maybe it's just because he's 5'8", like 168, and that it's fun to see those guys on the field. He was injured most of last year. Look, he was their leading rusher in this game. He was their leading receiver. Caught a long touchdown. Like, that might be your third receiver if Allen Robinson doesn't work out. Calvin Austin is kind of fun. And remember that guy, Broderick Jones, who everyone was like, oh, they stole Broderick Jones. This is where it's like, oh, you plug and play. He's your starter for 10 years, and everyone puts him in as a starter in the depth chart. It sounds like he's probably not going to start, which I was surprised to read that on The Athletic, that Dan Moore, who was their starter a year ago, is probably going to remain the starter.
That's really surprising.
And that he would be the swing tackle. So these are little things you learn in the preseason, actually, because he's not working with the starters.
Yeah, I got a pop that I know America might not be ready for this. And I'm not saying that I'm rooting for it either. But you know what? At a certain point, we're moving forward. Mark, the Browns are going to be good this year. The Browns could be really good this year. We talked about a smart football person and Aaron Schatz about their defense, how he sees that as a top 10 unit. We're going to talk to Ross Tucker a little later. He sees them as having one of the best offensive lines in the league. They have the best running back in the league. They have weapons on at the playmaker as receivers. And it was very short, it was a very small window, but I thought Deshaun Watson looked like Deshaun Watson in his one series. Again, that's why I don't go crazy about the preseason, because it's such a small sample size. But he threw the ball well, and he scrambled well. He looked quick. He looked agile. He looked like the guy that was a very, very good superstar-level quarterback with the Texans. I think there's a better chance we see a very good Deshaun Watson to great Deshaun Watson than the bad six-game sample. And it's just on my radar as the season gets closer that, and we'll be making our predictions come September, who's going to win that division. I would not be surprised if the Browns have a big year here, and whether we want it or not, Watson, he's going to get another tune-up apparently before the end of the preseason. If this offense hits the ground running, it would not shock me at all. Good start for Watson in that offense.
Well, I thought Aaron Schatz put it really well in how they kind of view what the Browns might be. It's like, do you take that six-game sample size, which happened, obviously, after a massive hiatus from playing in a weird situation? I think there was a lot of neck-up stuff going on with the entire team and Watson. Or do you take the rest of his career and assume that at his age, he's not even very old, that like he still has that athletic ability? So that was the missing component, or the unknown component, for Cleveland. If he flips the switch, like, the thing that I think people forget about the Browns in general is because Andrew Berry got pulled into all this, and the whole organization was distasteful to so many for their pursuit of Watson, that you forget that Andrew Berry was one of the better young general managers in football before this. And the roster, they had some holes coming into this offseason. We talked about that. Short up the defensive line, the O-line, where it's like, sometimes you only have like a three-year window on these O-lines. And like, Cleveland's is still really strong. Ross Tucker will confirm that later when we talk to him. The defense seems to be better. They've got a better coordinator in Jim Schwartz. So it is arrow up. I think for me, Greg, like, the one question is, there are all these little whispers, like, does Kevin Stefanski's system and the Deshaun Watson skill set really marry the way you'd want?
I think that was my takeaway from that brief time, was how much he scrambled and moved. Like, a lot of that was just freelancing, and whether he's going to have the freedom or just chooses to do that more, and that makes sense. That's a strength of his. Half the snaps, he was essentially making plays on his own, either scrambling or moving outside the pocket, and he looked effective doing it in limited time. And you can do that when you have a great offensive line. A great offensive line can really bring out the best in a great scramble.
And this is final note on Stefanski. He made the most out of Jake Brisket last year. He made the most out of Baker Mayfield. Now, if he actually has a really good quarterback, I don't know, Mark. I'm feeling it. Feeling a little bit. I'm feeling a spicy 12.
It's a crazy AFC. You need a couple of these AFCs team that everyone's just ticketing to the playoffs to fall off a little bit.
I can see it all. I'm more skeptical on whether it's going to work with Watson in the offense, just in general, being like a top 10, top 5 type of offense. You look at the rest of that, the roster
almost
in that division.
To me,
their roster, as good as it is, it's not any better than the Bengals or the Ravens, and maybe not the Steelers either. So it's just a bloodbath.
Yeah, but DVOA, like, they, before the season, you know, curtailed with Watson, like, with Jacoby Brissett in there, they were effective.
With Jacoby Brissett.
Right.
Yeah. Give me a flop, Mark.
I mean, I think the one that just is so obvious, and Greg's already, you know, perused my screen here, so he knows where I'm going here, but Trey Lance. I mean, I don't know. I don't think Trey, like, talk about fit. Like, and I guess that is Trey Lance coming out of that performance.
It's all relative, by the way. Everybody calm down. These people didn't really flop. You know,
it just rhymes with stop.
Right.
It does.
Well, that's why I'm staying away from, like, any of the rookie quarterback flop situations. Like, whatever. Like, first appearance. This is Trey Lance's third season. Now, if you really look at his career, I mean, he barely threw the ball in college, and he's barely thrown the ball over three seasons, or, you know, two plus seasons in the NFL. And I thought that first March, that three and out, where it's like, you're just not doing things the way that Kyle Shanahan wants them done. And yes, you can come make some plays later on. He threw a touchdown pass that shouldn't even be called a touchdown. They have a different category. You essentially threw an interception that deflects off a defender in a totally weird way when you go watch, like, their actual tweeted replay. you have to watch it like 14 times to actually see where the ball went. It was like a magic bullet that shot off him into the hands of the Niners tight end for a score.
Not a positive grade on a PFF scale, put it that way.
They would look right past it, or they would call it essentially just a turnover.
Yeah, he had a 37 passing grade, by the way. So
well, he did terrible. I mean, like, I think the thing is just the processing, just watching him, he just does not look in a system where it feels like you could plug Dan in and he'd get 88 yards passing. Trey Lance still doesn't look comfortable. And I think if anything, they want a good preseason out of him to find out what he is, but maybe to shop him. Sam Darnold came in, and with one off season in the Niners offense, probably just a better quarterback, just looked way sharper to me.
Can I just say also with this situation, and you could say the same thing about what I was just talking about with the Browns, but of course Kyle Shanahan is going very vanilla with his scheme on offense. He's not using that big brain of his to put his quarterbacks in the position to dominate in the way he will try come week one. So it makes it hard to make judgments. But yeah, you would think Trey Lance where he is, or and the Niners maybe where they are, and do we want to trade this guy if we can? It'd be nice if he like lit the opponent up this weekend.
They also aren't letting him run though. That's
right.
A big part of
their line was brutal in this game. I'm a little worried about the San Francisco offensive line. I know these were these were the backups. So that's a big part of it. They were the backups, but I don't think it's a deep offensive line. I don't think it's a great pass blocking offensive line, but he's never played particularly well in the preseason, Lance. He had a couple moments in the regular season. Like I think he took four sacks and a couple were on him, a couple were on the offensive line, but you just look at him and then you look across the field and it's Aiden O'Connell, who is like a rookie. I'm not giving a pop here, but it was interesting in that game, the contrast and how well O'Connell played. And he was probably one of the few rookie quarterbacks that was that comfortable. But then you think like who's played way more football in his life, Aiden O'Connell or Trey Lance? Like it's Aiden O'Connell,
right?
It's the guy in college that was starting 12 games a year at Purdue and is probably the same age because half the rookies, it feels like, because of COVID are like 25 years old. I don't know what O'Connell's age was, but like it's a little concerning. The most concerning thing about the whole Lance performance was actually Kyle Shanahan spending like a minute after the game explaining why he really liked that touchdown throw.
Oh,
because he thought he ultimately like made the right, like that he went for it, that he made the right read, that it came open late and that he pulled the trigger. And I think that's Lance's problem, is he's not
tentative,
making quick decisions,
right?
He's not pulling the trigger. And that actually the decision was okay. He thought the throw was a bit off and the defense made a nice play on it. That was surprising. And like that, if that was where you're trying to find some positives, that's troubling.
Mm. All right. Hold that thought.
Uh-oh.
Let's take a break. And before we do, promo time. This season, DraftKings has launched the largest best ball tournament in DraftKings history. Right now, you can enter into DraftKings best ball tournament for a shot at over $10 million in guaranteed cash prizes. Make your entry into the draft today. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the NFL season without having to worry about managing your roster, waiver wires, and more. To start playing best ball, download the DraftKings app using DK1 code. Enter DraftKings Best Ball Millionaire Contest and snake draft your team for the season. Each week, you'll automatically rack up points from all your top scores. No ads, drops, trades, or I should have played them instead. That's regrets, a.k.a. Teams with the most points by the end of the season will have a shot to take home the $1 million top prize. So what are you waiting for? Head to DraftKings app and sign up with the code DK1 and start playing best ball today. Join the DraftKings $10 million best ball tournament only on DraftKings with code DK1. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See DraftKings.com for details. We'll be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, we're back. Greg, you got a pop or a flop?
Let's get to the rookie quarterbacks a little. I'm going to go flop, but I'm not going to give it to the rookie quarterback. I'll give it to the Panthers offensive line.
Yes,
so you can get around it.
Yes.
You can get around it. Because I didn't watch the Bryce Young performance live or anything when I went back and checked it out on NFL Plus.
Nice plug, bro.
Nice first preseason weekend for NFL Plus.
Nice. Smooth
nice
interface. Very
for
nice.
Me. When I went back to watch it, I was like, I was expecting it was going to be ugly. It's like, Bryce Young didn't do anything wrong in that game. There was not really much he could do. There was one play that was kind of nice where he like got to his second read pretty quickly, made a nice throw. But, man, he got decked three times. There's this whole idea that Ikem Ekwonu and, yeah, like, our colleague Steve Smith said, like, look, he looks like one of the best left tackles in the league in practice. Like, he was a bit of a disaster as a rookie, and he was in this game. And there's this idea that the Panthers have this good offensive line, sneaky good, actually, a year ago. But then you have a new coach, and you have a new offensive line coach, and you have a new system, and people don't really pay attention to this stuff. But, oh, by the way, your two starters at guards are coming off of massive injuries, one of them who's still out, Austin Corbett. And, like, okay, that's a lot of ifs then. Like, offensive line play, and we'll talk about it with Ross, like, is not necessarily consistent year to year, especially when you're changing schemes. And so that was very concerning, seeing that man get decked that quickly. I don't think he really did anything wrong. Maybe there was one ball he would like to have back. There wasn't really much to it, but nice job by the Jets defensive line.
See that Will McDonald spin move?
I like Motto. This Jets.
Jermaine Johnson, hello.
Edge rushing group, and it's Quinnen Williams.
Bryce
and
Huff.
You don't want to put it all on defense, but man, that Jets defense on paper is as talented as just about anyone.
I mean, I thought it had to happen at some point. Solomon Thomas just flattens Bryce Young, and like he got right up, said he didn't even feel it. I mean, I don't know why. Like, why is that so surprising? He's been playing football.
He got
a ton,
decked all the time at Alabama.
Right.
Like, he was hit as hard as like any college quarterback I watched that.
Right,
game.
But it is like it's just this thing that people were, yes, waiting to see. So that's fine. I mean, my problem is like I don't know how to really assess Bryce Young. If he's this preseason, if he's going to be playing behind a line like this, because it's Bryce Young under constant
duress. Well, it's going to be a bad year.
Well, I don't know.
It shouldn't be like that every week.
You can't
week,
protect
but that was
a rookie quarterback,
day.
Right. Especially an undersized rookie quarterback. That's doom. They need to play at a average at least level, you'd think. But
there's time. But I mean,
yeah, it was a small thing, but it's
Frank Reich's coming out being like, well, you know, listen, I don't really take the score into account. Like, he's like, I do. We are accountable for it, but it's like. Yeah, it's not a great. The score doesn't matter at all. But just sort of an uninspiring, dawn to the new era.
It was 27-0. We should mention the Jets are back.
Yeah, I guess we took off that tough Browns loss.
That shows resilience, though. That shows resilience.
There it is.
That's going to play well on Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks is going to play up the shutout aspect of it big time. I don't really need that. Like the, I thought the in terms of the Hard Knocks episode, when it got to the Hall of Fame game, I was like, eh.
I felt like they were filling.
Let's stick to what's going on in Florin Park. We'll see. And the Hard Knocks podcast,
they were,
with me and Colleen
They were
Wolf.
Doing this at the end of the last Hard Knocks. Just
tomorrow.
Stretch it out.
It was interesting. Mingo started that game for the Panthers. That was one thing that was nice to see.
Let's see. I have one that I want to hit. I don't have too many flops. If I'm a Dolphins fan, I want to see Mike White play a little better because you're going to see him this year in games that count. But I'm going to stick with popped. And I'm going to leave this one open because I know Greg wants to talk about it, so I'll let him do it. And I'll stick with the Bears. This is a big year for Eberflus and company. And DJ Moore was such a big get for that offense. And he scores a touchdown. Justin Fields then dumps off a pass to Khalil Herbert on third and long. He goes 56 yards for a touchdown. Stiff arms a dude, takes him to the house. And this was a great stat, and I'll credit ESPN on this one. So Fields, you know, you look at his stats, I'm like, Justin Fields, this guy's going to win the MVP. Just basically two quick, short passes.
Yeah.
But it matters because the Bears ranked last season dead last in yards after catch, 1,100 yards. They did not have a single play rack up 50 yards after catch all of last season. Zero in 17 games. They had two in those two series with Justin Fields. Is that going to continue week after week? No, it's not. But I think especially with Moore, just seeing what having a true number one, how that could help and really lead to liftoff for Justin Fields and what's such an important third year for him.
I mean, Moore is already part of one of the greatest plays in NFL history, that catch from P.J. Walker. Right, it's a fact. This morning, I'm glad this randomly came up, at the breakfast table,
right,
Walker's got on an NFL-produced YouTube video, the greatest throws of all time in NFL history.
Produced by who?
Walker.
NFL film.
Or Greg.
It's like
it's a Rosenthal.
Is NFL films?
Yeah,
that P.J. Walker throw was on it.
How about this?
P.J. Moore caught it. And
how about we kick the extra point?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, then we can talk about what a great win it was.
I mean, they had like there was probably like 125 throws on this thing, but it was one of them.
In fairness, D.J. Moore took his helmet off, making the extra point 47 yards.
That was stupid. You should be allowed to take your helmet.
You know, that's
that rule comes and goes. They choose it when they want to.
They also have a healthy Darnell Mooney, which is nice. I think Herbert's a nice player. I think there was this thought that Roschon Johnson comes in, the rookie. This is where you watch the snaps. Herbert gets all the snaps with the starters. Roschon Johnson's, who had a nice run, is playing pretty deep with the third teamers in the second half. So just a little fantasy nug there.
All right. Mark, go ahead. Pop or flop?
I'm going to go pop.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, I think that's. I was at the Chargers game, and, you know, last year the Chargers struggled to run.
Oh, king of the castle.
Costs like $14 to go. That's fine. Going this week with my children too.
Oh really? Going a lot. You really hit.
But this time
building.
The children were not there Saturday.
No, they weren't.
No, they couldn't go to that one, but they will go to the next one.
They just missed out on the Stetson Bennett fire show.
Yeah, I didn't stay for the entire thing.
Just
I
was Mark
like, gonna beat this crowd out of here.
Was not a fire.
Mark alone with a Diet Pepsi and his binoculars and his little clipboard.
That's exactly
taking notes.
That's exactly
taking
what
notes
was happening.
For the offensive line rankings chat.
But there were some huge plays from the I think last year, like, they couldn't run the ball. 6.9 yards per carry against, I mean, a Rams defensive line that is
ramshackle.
Problematic, yeah. 214 rushing yards. Elijah Dotson, undrafted out of Northern Colorado, had two crazy runs, 37 and 40 yards in the second half. They just stuck it to the Rams later on. I thought Easton Stick looked pretty good as a backup. I mean, some of these teams, like the Bills' backup situation we can get to at some point, is sort of a blooming disaster. And, like, Easton Stick looked as good as he's ever looked. And it was really, like, he ran the offense really well. I thought Quentin Johnston is going to be, I think he's going to drive people nuts because he does some stuff, you know, his hands just disappear, but then he'll make a crazy play and you can see it all. There's this guy, Darius Davis, who, another rookie out of TCU,
yes,
had an 81-yard punt return for a touchdown. So, I don't know, these guys seem like they want to be a more physical team under Kellen Moore on the ground, and in the one game we've seen it, it showed.
Davis, I think, is going to be a story this year. He was the best returner in college football. That one return was enough for me.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't really about the blocking. It was about the hesitation and the burst and the vision, and it reminded me exactly of Kevontae Turpin of the Cowboys last year who popped a couple in the preseason. You were like, oh, wow, is that a guy? And he ended up being a total game changer for the Cowboys, one of the best return men in the league. Quentin Johnson's on my radar. Not a guy I would want to take in fantasy.
No.
I think he's going to be their fourth receiver. You couldn't hear this because you were at the game, but Dan Fouts doing the coverage was like, Johnston's, he had a couple drops early in this game, two drops. He was just like, he's had a rough training camp because of those drops. And it's like, oh, wait, that's the first negative thing I've heard any announcer say about anyone on the team that they're covering entire weekend, because they're all working for the team and you never heard it. And it's like, I'm going to file that away. He's probably wide receiver four there behind Palmer.
If the guy's saying that for, and he's getting paid by the team, right? These guys for the preseason coverage. The guy has to look pretty bad.
Although he is explosive. You could see he's getting open.
I think it's just hot and cold.
And he had a great touchdown. He could be a red zone guy, but yeah, not.
All right, Greg, you have so many. You have
too
63
many.
Takes.
Too many.
So you got to throw out another
one. I want to go with what's the most surprising. Well, we should hit the quarterback stuff. Let's go Baker playing. Just because I think it's newsworthy. Baker played well, composed. And Kyle Trask wasn't a disaster, but wasn't good. So it was a clear and decisive Baker victory in preseason game one. And then because I'm writing that article, I checked out a little Pewter Report action.
Mm-hmm.
Bucks cut
stuff over there.
They noticed that Baker had his best practice day of the year on Sunday and threw a bunch of touchdowns, and Trask had a bad day. So it feels like there's separation created. No big surprise there, but just so you know, it looks like Baker's going to be the guy. Trask will get to start preseason week two, but I think that's going to be his last time in the competition.
All right. I gave you a chance, Greg, and so now I'll bring it up. I thought the Saints looked good in limited time. Derek Carr in the field. It's like the Joker movie, the Todd Phillips one. So many things. So many Batman-related things. Jetson and Blitzen that you got to differentiate. The Todd Phillips film, the Joker.
Right.
I think Derek Carr is good. I'm tired of pretending he's not. I think he's going to do well in that offense, playing in the dome. And Greggy, Alvin Kamara did look very feisty and frisky in his limited play as well.
Nice little burst.
It's unfortunate that he's not going to be around for the start of the season. That's his own doing with his suspension. And it's also unfortunate that Kendre Miller, their rookie, injured his knee in the game. I don't know how serious it is, but we were told it's a sprain that could go in two very different directions. It's from Dennis Allen. So they have depth issues there, of course.
They might sign someone.
So somebody's coming into that building, regardless, it sounds like. But Carr, Michael Thomas, I like the vibes there, if he can stay in the field. And yes, Kamara looked very good. He should be ready to roll in late September.
Juwan Johnson delivering on that fantasy. Chris Olave, they've said, has been the MVP at camp there. And then it just sort of caught me by surprise when, like, Jimmy Graham caught a catch. But, you know, right. Jimmy Graham is on this team.
Is he going to make the team?
I asked our friend Adam over at the Saints podcast, and it was called the Saints Twitter podcast. Now I forget what it's called. They changed the name. Bad job by me.
What, because Twitter isn't a thing anymore?
I guess. I don't know. Just like a rebranding.
Saints X-Pod is kind of cool.
I don't think it was related. I think they had changed it before that happened. But he thinks Jimmy Graham's making the team. So,
Why go through the motion of like bringing him back just to have him there for 3 weeks, unless he can't play?
Saints Block Party podcast. There we go.
Oh, okay. But what did he say?
He thinks Jimmy Graham's making the team. Michael Thomas, Jimmy Graham. It is weird. I like their first round pick. Looked pretty good for C.
Very good. We got Ross in a couple minutes. So anything else? Go ahead.
I have one that I feel is somewhere in between pop and flop, because it's a rookie quarterback. I want to talk about him, but like Anthony Richardson, I don't think he flopped or popped. I mean, I just think it's like
a plop.
Sure, it's that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to overly critique him. Watching him, it's like, you can see it. I don't know if he needs to really start the season necessarily based on what I saw.
Put him underground.
I thought he looked good. Well, it was fun. It was kind of what you expect. It was a lot of...
He had a terrible interception, which is fine. I thought, if anything, though, I thought is he going to try to like run out of the pocket on every play? Like, kind of stood in there and threw the ball. Had that bad turnover. The way he throws the ball, like he's got some sidearm action, but like I think his mechanics are just a little strange.
They're wacky. He has a quick release, and I think he got rid of the ball quickly mostly and made good decisions. You're right. There were like two throws that were just way off, and that's just apparently part of the package. Reminds you a little of rookie Josh Allen. But then he also ran over, who was that? Teron Johnson, I think, of the Bills. He just like steamrolled him like it was like a 250-pound fullback over a little child, and you're just like, oh man, that's a quarterback. And then he made a couple of really nice throws, and they like really went out of their way after the game to point out Isaiah McKenzie made a mistake on that interception, that he didn't read the blitz right, he didn't run the right route. But Richardson made a big mistake too. Is like if your receiver messes up, you could see him almost panic in real time and then just force it. You got to just throw it away or run to the sideline and eat it. But Reggie Wayne, our former colleague, was apparently very upset with Isaiah McKenzie, who like literally apologized publicly about that interception. I thought he showed enough that he's going to be the week one starter.
Well, I mean, of course he will be, I guess. It's just like he could have had a touchdown. That Alec Pierce, he threw a nice ball
downfield. Oh, yeah,
downfield.
That was a dime.
Alec Pierce dropped it and was upset at himself. I thought on that run where he bowled the guy over, it wasn't like lowering the shoulder and getting like low. Like he just basically stood up and ran through him. And it reminds you he's like as fast as people, but like 50 pounds heavier, made of muscle.
It's like a young Cam. I mean, in terms of size and speed.
He jumps
as a runner.
Yeah, like everyone's been saying, young Allen. Watch him and just jumps off the screen.
You know what I want to give a little pop to? Just because it's newsworthy. It's not preseason, really. Joe Burrow out on the field. Not only practicing aggressively.
Kind of stretching pop, but yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, he like went through this whole workout and he did it in front of the cameras. So to me, that was his R-E-L-A-X.
No, your take's good. Randy behind the glass hidden pop on that. Maybe I don't know if we need
I
it,
said pop.
I hear
you
pop.
Know, so
I press pop.
Yeah.
Okay, listen.
He's got a point.
Shout out to Randy.
I think that was him telling the greater Cincinnati area,
chill.
I'm good. Relax. So I think we'll see him back there soon. And I wouldn't be too relaxed watching, you know, Trevor Siemian and Jake Brown and stink it up. You got to get a backup quarterback, Cincinnati. Stop messing around. Mm.
Did you see the Trevor Lawrence touchdown? Where
he evaded all,
like 18 people. People Wait, were coming up to him.
That wasn't him, was it?
Rourke, you mean. Yeah. Nathan Rourke. Well, he had a night.
We should be so blessed to have Trevor Lawrence making that play. It was a backup.
The Nathan Rourke Jaguars.
I thought it was, too. He has a similar build.
Oh, you know, I just saw it on like on a Twitter replay, and I was like, that's Trevor Lawrence? Holy cow.
Lawrence had a nice touchdown, too. But Rourke, I was not familiar with this man.
Right.
Did some research. CFL product. Was like in the MVP mix in the CFL this year before an injury.
Very nice.
That play, and Bill Barnwell, who's going to be on our show later this week doing some over-unders with us.
Fun.
He said, doesn't matter preseason or not, that has a chance to be the best play made by an NFL player this year. That's one of the best players I've ever seen.
People. Whoa. Hey, Mr. Hyperbole over here.
He threw off three.
It was incredible.
Three guys. And
it was a great play.
As his knee is half an inch off the ground, throws a dime for a game-winning touchdown with 30 seconds left. I mean, it doesn't.
Real game, but yeah.
Yeah, I just watched the NFL's greatest throws ever. I mean,
It
would fit. It would fit on that list.
I would have ruled him in the grasp, and I would have ruled him down, and I would have waved the play.
That's not fun.
Personally. It was a great effort. And, Mark, as you're known to always say, we are nothing without our fans. I mean, I can't have one conversation with Mark without him saying we're nothing without our fans. And with that said, let's
Are you
head
trying
over.
To suggest that I, in reality, could care less about our fans?
No, I mean, I'm saying.
I very much am thankful for
Let's check
fans.
In via X/whatever. Look at this. Regan checks in out here. At the hot-ass Bank of America Stadium watching A.A. Ron and his Jets, can't help but think Dan Hansis and Greg Rosenthal of Around the NFL. You can't see my boy's Patriot cap, but he is a diehard OG Brady fan. He was born in Connecticut, after all. We love football and the ATN pod. Now, that is nice to see from the fans.
It's really nice.
Wait, what's that face?
No, it's a nice message.
She can't help but think of Dan, Greg, all the guys.
Oh, there was a follow-up. There was a follow-up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Mark two. There it is. There.
Oh, I got my own tweet.
You got a follow-up.
Well, got my own tweet.
After someone.
Well, it's a total afterthought, but yeah. I think I know what she's attempting to do.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you. I don't think she was attempting. I don't know. It was Jets to try to save her. Jets, Dan. and then her son, Patriots hat. So there was like a connection.
So I was organic, just organically left out. That's no problem at all.
Regan, if you're listening, just know this will live inside.
I'll be tracking this heavily up.
He's not sleeping
this week.
All right, let's move right along. I think we have a guest.
We do.
Hit the music. Joining us now is a former NFL offensive lineman. Played 7 years. Cowboys, Bills, Patriots, Washington. Football team. Guy went to Princeton. Hello. And now he does color for CBS Sports and Westwood One. He's got his own podcast. I mean, Ross Tucker. My goodness. He's got his own podcast, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. And now he joins us to talk about his latest rankings over on the 33rd team. Ross, welcome to Around the NFL.
What's up, fellas? Love the music, love the intro, and nice to see all you guys. Happy football season.
Happy Ross, football
season. You mentioned there that, you know, we're going to be hearing Ross on Sundays now on NFL games.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's a first. So I'm looking.
Congrats on that gig. We are very serious about studying those teams and to have you crack in the rotation. That's something to look forward to.
It also puts you in the crosshairs here. We're sometimes critical. We do rankings, so now you're part of it.
That too.
You know what? I am totally fine with that. That's very fair. I do rankings on Mondays on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast for the press box food for the different stadiums I'm in. And I always say, like, I am very grateful for the free food. I am not complaining. I'm just evaluating.
Right.
I'm just reporting. It's my job. So as long as you guys are tough but fair, I'm fine with that. Okay. I will say this. Really excited to be in the booth, three-man booth. Chris Lewis will do play-by-play, and then the other analyst is Jason McCourty, which I think is awesome because, number one, he just retired.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I've known him since I think he was a senior in college. I've known him for a while. And then I also have always kind of thought, guys, that the ideal booth is a guy like Jason who played corner or receiver and is really an expert in coverages, coverage techniques, route combinations, all that stuff, with a guy like me that is really an expert in the front seven stuff, O-line, D-line. Because it's really, you're not going to really find like an offensive line or defensive lineman that really is an expert when it comes to wide receiver DB stuff. So I kind of feel like, hopefully, we'll have the best of both worlds.
Do you feel like when in a three-man booth, you got to kind of, you know, elbow them out to get your comment in there sometimes? There's an extra human being in there.
You know, it's funny because I've done it several times now, and it is different for sure. Because when you're the only analyst, there is no question who's talking.
It's
right?
It's the Ross show. It's the Ross show.
And also,
the play-by-play man might not even get in there.
No, but the other thing is, Greg, is, you know, people don't realize, and I said this to Jason already, the big difference between radio and television, right, is radio, which I love, I can just say whatever I want at the end of every play. TV, you gotta be talking about what's on the screen. So what that means is a lot of times, you know, as the play is happening, I don't know if anybody's ever described this to you guys, but as the play is happening and the play-by-play guy is calling it, I am hitting the button, telling the producer and director, you know, 53 blue telly, because the linebacker came flying through and blew up the play and made an awesome play. Or maybe they're telling me, you know, wide receiver corner ISO. And so you got to look at the monitor a lot because it does you no good if you're looking at the field talking about the pass rush and they're showing the wide receiver and the corner's coverage on him. So there's just a lot more communication on TV, a lot more in your ear. So I bring that up to tell you guys, it's a little different when it's a three-man booth for TV like that because, you know, what if Jason wants to talk about one thing, I want to talk about another thing. But the way it works out is there's certain camera angles, right? Like the all 22, that's going to be Jason. If we're showing the all 22 It's because it's a coverage. If we're showing a wide receiver ISO, that's going to be Jason. If we're showing the high end zone, which is the O-line, that's going to be me. So there's just things that you work through, you talk through, but there's just a lot more involved with TV stuff than the radio.
I know, and that's sometimes, and we're guilty of this as well, and you think about infamous booths like, you know, Witten's run there and Booger and Greg, you've had it out with some people in the past. And, you know, guy flubs one thing or you know, some type of, you know, error like that, and we're all killing him. But you don't really realize what's going on and how much work it is. I have a lot of respect for that job and what you're doing, Ross. Good luck to you. Transition.
Thank you. I'll give you guys give you guys one quick story, right?
Whole transition back to Tucker.
One quick story. Saturday night.
Yeah.
I did the Ravens-Eagles preseason game. I do the preseason games for the Eagles. And the quarterback for the Ravens, I can't remember if it was Josh Johnson, who I didn't even know was on the Ravens again, or Tyler Huntley, who I saw your tweet, Greg, about him playing in the second half, which is beyond interesting to me. But one of them, you know, rolled out to the right, threw the ball, and just kind of had to throw the ball away, right? Well, the producer says, or maybe I said, I don't know, but let's show the coverage. Because there's nowhere to go with the ball. And then we go, so I show the coverage, nowhere to go with the ball. I look down at my phone during the commercial break, and somebody was like, the reason why he rolled to the right was there was great pressure from Kentavia Street. You didn't even mention it. All you talked about was the coverage. Be better.
Oh, no. Who sent that?
Kentavious.
It wasn't
dad.
Greg, but somebody.
I mean,
it's just so funny though, because like if the producer says we're going to show the coverage replay,
yeah,
but I'm talking about the coverage replay. I'm not talking about Kentavious Street, you know, chasing the quarterback as the other side. Like, I don't know if that was Kentavious's agent or like his uncle, but it's just hilarious to me. Like, be better. They don't realize that we don't really always have a say in.
I hate be better.
Yeah.
By the way, if we could declare a moratorium on be better,
let's stop.
That sucks. Be better.
Never do be better.
It's so condescending and snide, and it's just like, let's lose it.
Get fired into the
there's
sun.
No, there's
be
no,
better, be better.
No, be better. Tyler Huntley, by the way, might not make that team. Because just the way John Harbaugh's talking, I just feel like they've been trying to replace him all offseason. They played Josh Johnson ahead of him. But then again, he kept that 24-game winning streak
sure
going
did.
By playing.
Hero.
By playing
quarter of 100 games straight.
Let's
all right.
talk O-lines.
Yes, let's do it. So, Ross, great stuff over on the 33rdteam.com. You break down your offensive line rankings into five tiers: elite, above average, average, below average, and poor. You could see where Ross has your team and get mad at him accordingly. Elite tier: Eagles, Lions, and the Cleveland Browns. And that kind of connects with a point I was making earlier in the show, Ross, about how the Browns just seem to have a lot of things lined up well. We know about the Eagles and Lions and what they were able to put together last year. Browns surprised me to be this high in this exercise.
And you know what's funny, too, just looking at this, and we'll talk about the elite, obviously, and I know we'll get to the ones below. If you think about it, guys, you really just – if you have poor, you have no shot. And if you're below average – you probably don't have much of a chance. Whereas it's great to be elite for sure or above average, but even if you have an average O-line, you probably can get stuff done. You really just can't be below average and poor. But we have seen the resurgence in Philadelphia last year and in Detroit. I think you could argue that they were both almost led by their offensive lines, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, both quarterbacks played probably much better than anybody thought they would. I mean, nobody thought Hurts would be second in the MVP voting. And then Goff, I thought that was maybe the best year he's ever had, maybe at least other than the 1 year in LA. And I think they were led by the offensive lines. And so, you know, when I look at this list of the elite teams, my thing is if Deshaun Watson can't play at a high level in Cleveland this year, then that's kind of a Deshaun Watson thing. I mean, you know, I'm still fascinated, by the way, by the fact that that guy was considered a top five quarterback the last full year he played in 2020 when the Texans went 4-12. I mean, is that the worst record any team has ever had when their quarterback had unanimous quote unquote top five play. I mean, I would have thought it's impossible to have a quarterback, you know, be top five in the NFL. And everybody agreed with it. And the team goes 4-12. How do you even do that?
I don't know. I want to go look where we had
it. I mean, maybe Archie Manning or something like that.
But yeah.
Right. It's pretty rare. I want to ask you about the Eagles real quick. They have Cam Jurgens, who's going to move to right guard there. And you mentioned in your piece that he's essentially just been a center. But you must have immense faith in the development, the coaching in Philadelphia. Obviously, they pour so many resources into both lines, and it is the heart and soul of that team. But to go from center to play guard, is the position switch kind of like no problem for some guys, or is it like a wait and see how this works?
So it is much different playing guard than center, and people don't realize that. The easiest way to describe it is when you're center – there's no real neutral zone. The nose tackle's right there. And so you kind of just snap the ball and like grab him with the other hand. And you're very rarely isolated one-on-one in pass protection. You know, you usually have one of the guards helping you at least initially. Whereas guard, there's space, a little bit of time, and a lot of times you're one-on-one against an Aaron Donald or whoever, and they basically have a two-way go. So the pass protect, the way I always describe it is like, I could have started a whole year at center and been fine. I could have even, the way we slid left so much, I could have started a whole year at left guard and been okay. And it's changed a little bit, but right guard, with the amount of one-on-ones they get, that's when I got exposed. Like, I just couldn't hold up against really good interior rushers over a long period of time. And so I was worried about Cam Jurgens, really worried. I mean, this is a guy that played tight end his first two or three years at Nebraska. They just moved him to center, and he was unbelievable last year in the preseason for the Eagles as a center. Now, I didn't watch him take any reps at guard in practice. I don't even know how many he did last year. But I've been to training camp a couple times because I had, Mark, to your point, I had major concerns about that. Say Amalu's good. Say Amalu gets overshadowed because he's in between probably two Hall of Famers in Kelsey and Lane Johnson. But say Amalu was good. But I've been to enough practices now. Cam Jurgens is good. Like, to answer your question, Mark, he's one of those guys that it just worked for him right away. Some guy, I've seen multiple teams I've been on where they will like try to move a tackle to guard and have him be the starter at guard. And it was a disaster. 2002 Washington, 2007 Washington. Whereas Jurgens, I mean, I don't know how the OTAs went, but watching him in training camp, watching him in one-on-ones and going against Fletcher Cox, he's not going to be a problem at all. In fact, he's going to be really, really good. That was just a good pick.
Along like the just in terms of trench talk from somebody who's done it, because you're hearing about it, you're in the below average tier, you start with the Jets at 24, and this is less about the Jets and more just about what you're hearing about Mekhi Becton, about how drafted as a left tackle, they're trying to make it work at right tackle, and you hear these guys that get flipped on each side of the line say it's like learning a new position and having to do everything backwards. Is that like one of those things where, you know, like patting your head and rubbing your belly? Some people can do it, some people can't. And how difficult is that a task to be to flip from one side to the other and expect to pick it up in the middle of the summer with games that count right around the corner?
So have you got any of you guys ever like broken your throwing hand or your writing hand or wrist or anything like that? Because that's the way I always describe it to people. It's like I broke my I actually had a bad – that's a long story, but I had a snowblower incident when I was in ninth grade, okay, with my right hand. So I couldn't use my right hand for a while as that was healing. So I just started, you know, playing basketball and stuff with my left hand. And I got pretty good at it. But it was never quite as good as my right hand. And it took me a while. That's it's similar to that, right? Like, you're still just dribbling a ball or you're still just writing. But it's not a hand that you've used over and over again. So it's a different stance and a different weight transfer. So picture like 3 hours a day, every day, you're in this exact same stance and every step you take is pushing off your left foot and left leg because you're in a right-handed stance. And then all of a sudden they have you switch and go to left. And for 3 years, you were in this one stance. Think about the hours you put in. And now they put you and you have to put, now you're pushing off your right. Now you're using your right hand, your inside hand. Some guys, it happens faster than others. You absolutely can do it. And if you're a guy like I was, your job is to be able to do it either side at a moment's notice. That's what you practice. You practice actually both. But it's the guys like Becton that have only ever done one that when they have to switch to the other, it's like they're writing with their opposite hand. And you can probably get it done to the point where people can read what you're writing, but it's not going to be like a handwriting masterpiece, that's for sure.
If you flipped me and Sessler right now, I would have a panic attack.
Just where you're sitting, you think.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, no, but we've been sitting in the same place for like 9 or 10 years, to your point, Ross.
You can't play left toes. I want to get to the teams at the bottom of the list at some point, but I do want to ask you about two at the bottom of the top 10, Chargers, Packers. Two teams I'm kind of mentally circling that could exceed expectations. Chargers, I might be doing this for about the 15th straight year. I mean, these two offensive lines, to me, have a very high ceiling. I keep looking at the Chargers offensive line, and I'm thinking, like, why couldn't this be the best offensive line in the league or close to it? Rashawn Slater's back at left tackle. People might remember Zion Johnson. They drafted him the first round last year. They're moving him back to his natural position at left tackle. They really found something in Jamari Salyer. And you pointed out, Ross, maybe it's not easy for him to go from left tackle to right guard, but he's now going to be in their starting lineup at right guard. They have a great center in Lindsley. Those are four really good players, and the Packers are kind of similar to me, too. If Bakhtiari's healthy, you have Bakhtiari, Jenkins. They have a second-year player, Zach Tom, which looks great. Like, am I wrong to think that this Chargers offensive line, especially new offensive coordinator but the same line coach, like, could be really dynamic, and it's such a change from what it's been 2, 3, 4 years ago in Los Angeles?
Not at all. I think they have a really good chance to be a top-5 O-line. If Salyer can play at right guard the way I think he will after the way he played at left tackle last year, in a weird way, Greg, it's almost like a blessing in disguise for this season that Slater was hurt last season because it allowed them to discover that Salyer is a good player. And even right tackle, which had just been such a disaster for them for multiple years, I think Pipkins is solid now. I think Pipkins is fine. So I think they have a real chance to be a top-5 O-line. I think the question mark is moving a couple guys around. You know, you don't see that at other places necessarily. And how Pipkins and Salyer play next to each other is the only thing really preventing them. Because I think the left side and Lindsey will be awesome. And then for the Packers, it's really just a Bakhtiari health thing. You know, I mean – I can't remember the last time a guy, they're telling us he's fine now. I mean, it felt like 2 seasons in a row, maybe longer than that. He kept going in and out of the lineup and having his knee drained. I really thought he was done, to be honest with you. I thought this isn't going to happen for him. I'm really happy for him. It sounds like they think he'll be able to play the whole year, which is kind of remarkable because I think he got hurt 3 seasons ago, and this will be the first time where they really think he's all the way back. I'm sure they're managing it, but I kind of thought last year when he was in and out that he was just going to be done.
Isn't he kind of like the offensive line version of Michael Thomas? Like you want this guy. He could be a difference maker and a star, and then you pencil him in August, and you just cross your fingers at this point, but he has that level of upside.
All pro five straight years, first or second team. You're right. Yeah, he feels like about as big of like a X factor for any team.
Especially with a young quarterback. Because also then, if he can't play, they got to move a bunch of guys around. I mean, I don't know if they'll put Elgton Jenkins out there, who I think is a really good player. I can't believe DJ Reader said he never heard of him. Elgton Jenkins is awesome. That just goes to show you most of the time these guys don't care. They don't pay attention to offensive linemen from teams they don't play against. Because Elgton Jenkins is really good. Like, he's a really good player. So, yeah, I think that's a – I mean, if Bakhtiari stays healthy, they're top 10. If he's not, you know, then they're very average at best.
So the Titans, interesting case study, because I think if you were a super casual fan, you probably still think, because that's been their identity, that they still have this strong offensive line. They're a disaster. They're number 32 on your list. That's a free fall from where they were 700 days ago. What is the team that in this offseason did the most to improve their ranking? Mm. Who did the most?
So to your point first, Mark, it's funny. My first game for CBS week one will be the Titans at the Saints. So really looking forward to being in Greg Rosenthal's city in New Orleans. Do they have any good food down there? I like food, if you guys didn't know.
I think but it's on you if you don't find good food.
Yeah, really. So, but Mark, the Titans are like the best example maybe I've ever seen of how fast the NFL can come at you. It feels like it was 2 years ago that they may have had the best O-line in the league, and it was like Taylor Lewan, Roger Saffold, Ben Jones, Nate Davis, Jack Conklin. Maybe that was 3 years ago, but now it's like they're all gone. Like not one of those guys is there anymore. Like that's how fast it can change. They need Dillard to play well at left tackle. That way they can keep Skoronski at guard, and if they do that, I think they'll be in pretty good shape. You know, it's funny. I guess to answer your question, I would say Denver. The two that jump out to me are probably Denver, Pittsburgh, and Chicago. That's three, by the way. But Denver bringing in McGlinchey and Powers, although that remains to be seen. You know, like just because a team pays to bring in two established starters from other teams doesn't necessarily mean those guys are always going to play quite as well in their new city or with new teammates. But certainly Denver went up in my rankings because of adding those two guys. And then Pittsburgh and Chicago, I mentioned earlier in the show, I think Seumalo is a really good player. And so for Pittsburgh to get kind of his veteran presence and to have him next to, if Broderick Jones ends up starting at some point at left tackle, the rookie first rounder, I think it's invaluable to have Seumalo next to him. Yeah, Jason Kelsey for Philadelphia said that Seumalo is the smartest player I ever played with.
Wow.
So that really helps a rookie like Broderick Jones, to Seumalo can essentially just make sure he knows who to block every play. That's a big step in the right direction. And then, you know, the Bears are kind of the opposite of the Titans. Last year, the only reason why I didn't have the Bears ranked 33rd is because there's only 32 teams. I mean, last year I thought the Bears O-line would be a disaster. But what happened is it turns out that Tevin Jenkins, of all people, who had been a bust for 2 years in a row at tackle, is a good guard. And they had a rookie fifth-round pick from Southern Utah named Braxton Jones, who I think is a starting left tackle in the league and pretty good. And then they added Nate Davis in free agency to play right guard. And they've got Darnell Wright, who I loved out of college, to play right tackle from Tennessee. And that enables them to have Whitehair at center, which is definitely his best spot. And now all of a sudden the Bears go from me thinking that they were poor last year to average this year, which makes a really, really big difference for Fields and the offensive skill guys in Chicago.
Very good. Ross Tucker, you've said it all. Good man. Good luck in the booth. We will be listen, are we going to be fair? Yes. But are we going to be rooting for you? Yes.
Absolutely.
When it comes to time to really measuring what's going on in that booth. And let's tease it this way. And again, check out Ross, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, and everywhere else. Next time you're on the show, Ross, snowblower incident. That's how we lead.
Oh, yeah, it's a bad story, but I'm happy to tell it. Yeah.
The mystery of it might be better, but we'll just tease it that
maybe
way.
Maybe we'll always tease every Ross appearance going forward with the snowblower incident, but
we'll
never actually hit it. That's the plan. Ross, thanks, bud.
Thanks, Ross.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. Great seeing you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, pal.
Thanks.
There he goes. Just so everybody knows, Ross's countdown 1 through 10 is Eagles, Lions, Browns, Chiefs, Ravens, Cowboys, Falcons.
Some of the teams towards
Vikings, Chargers, Packers. Mm.
Some of the teams towards the bottom are more like, you know, we expect the Seahawks to be good. He had them 26th. The Jaguars fans, I think, will take some issue with them being
He factored in the suspension of their left tackle.
Sure, they drafted Anton Harrison, who looked okay this weekend. I think he's playing right tackle. You got Walker. It makes or breaks team. If they really were the 31st offensive line, then they're being overrated. Same like Seahawks, he had 26. We'll see. Jets, we've talked about those concerns. The 49ers, I mentioned them. I don't think it's the best Shanahan. It might be the worst line they've had since he's been there.
The below average tier and down is Jets, Giants, Seahawks, Bucks, Cardinals, and then starting with the poor tier, which he also called, Ross, the no chance tier. Commanders, that seems problematic with a young quarterback. Rams, Jaguars, and as we said, the Titans.
That is five playoff teams from a year ago.
Someone once said.
Fair, dog. It's fair. You know, Justin Graver can't be very happy about this either. I would love our old producer.
Oh, they were a disaster this weekend. And on paper, they are a disaster. They actually had one of the more surprising storylines. I know we're getting going, but like the fact that Malik Willis versus Will Levis is a legit battle, and people thought it was going to be Will Levis versus Tannehill. And Willis looked much better than he did a year ago, and Levis looked like a lot of the rookies, a little overwhelmed, and is playing behind Willis right now. It's one of the more surprising storylines, and they're all in deep trouble behind that offense.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you got half these guys playing behind the starters of the 32nd ranked line in the league.
Right.
Backups to the worst line. So it's like, and you got, you know, that, how do we, Will Levis, like, put him, I'd start him a game or two just to see him behind some starters.
Maybe they'll flip him. But I really feel like Tannehill's been done a disservice.
Tough sitch. Two quick running back notes before we say goodbye. One, Rap Sheet reports that Jonathan Taylor, who has been away from the team, getting additional rehab on his ankle. That's one way to put it. The other way to put it is he's pissed because they won't pay him. The Colts being the they. He's back with the Indy as of Monday. He remains on the PUP list, and his stance, according to Ian, has not changed, but he has returned. And in other news, Kendry Miller, I mentioned him earlier in the show, the Saints rookie running back, reporting out there now from ESPN. He is not expected to miss extensive time after leaving that game with a knee injury, according to a source. Good news.
There is one other. J.K. Dobbins has been activated from the PUP list.
Oh, great.
Whatever the hold-in situation
is. Nice little bundle there of running back news to close the show.
Backfield bundle.
Beautiful. Speaking of beautiful, great work, pinch hitting, Randy Chavez.
Total confidence that he would succeed.
Christy Stapleton behind, waving her arms. Why don't I get the respect?
I was going to say, Christy's really the reason why the ship didn't go down. So
That's the leader that you are. And you don't have that funk music, by the way, do you?
I do.
Because if you do, I'd really love to
sing
your praises. And, yeah, Christy as well. A little funk. Jake Funk he got through the line a couple times for the Colts in limited action.
Who's surprised?
Not you.
Not at all. That's how it works.
I think this is it.
They only need like four more people to get hurt or hold out or.
He'll always find out. He'll find out.
It's his time.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Randy and Christy. Holding it down. We'll be back. Let's keep this. Let's play out with this. We'll be back on Wednesday, the three of us, with another program. Not just any program. The 47th annual Fantasy Extravaganza with special guests. We will get you ready for your fantasy draft. Hell or high water.
This is one you don't want to tell your friends about.
Right.
You get that edge up on them.
Right. But that would affect our metrics slightly, so tell everyone. I don't know. I'm a little torn because I do want our diehard listeners to do the best.
Right.
But the Fantasy Extravaganza is back on Wednesday. And, of course, tomorrow, Colleen and I are back with Hard Knocks Recap Episode 2 immediately after the West Coast airing of that NFL Films HBO. Anything else, Greggy?
I think that's it.
Till tomorrow, heed the call. Turn this up on my earphones.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.